to see something strange.
Come with us and you will see. This is our town of Halloween.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
Pumpkins scream in the dead of night.
This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene.
Trick or treat.
Tell the neighbors gonna die of fright.
It's our town. Everybody's
fun. I realize it's got Tim Burton's name on it, and I realize that you're not a big Tim Burton fan.
Anti-Tim Burton fan, but yeah. I love this movie.
I do too. It's one of my favorites, and really there aren't many other movies that fit Halloween quite as well as Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ironically enough. Well, I'll argue with that. Trick or Treat by Michael Dougherty.
No, you mentioned that last year.
Yeah, because I just showed that to my son. That is a Halloween movie through and through, my friend.
Yeah, of that I have no doubt.
But before we get too far, we got to do the promo.
Okay.
Now, adamandeve.com, you can get slutty Halloween stuff there.
You know,
I'm sure you can. Otherwise, you can just get some stuff to do once you get all drunk and high and you're passed out in the bathroom. You know, you can get some toys or some lubes or something at adamandeve.com. But you have to use the promo code STATIC to get the 50% off a single item, to get the free shipping, to get the 3 free DVDs, and to get the free mystery gift. You have to use the code STATIC at adamandeve.com.
And where do I do that?
At adamandeve.com.
Well, no shit, but it's... As you're checking out, it has a box for promo code.
Yeah, there's a little box for promo code. Yeah. And that's where you put in STATIC.
There you go.
Or if you go to my website, 1201beyond.blogspot.com, and just click on the links, the Adam and Eve links that are on the side, that'll take you directly there and already have the promo code embedded in it.
Handy.
So, yes. So if you go to my website, you don't even have to enter the code. The code will actually be entered for you.
Now, actually, Adam and Eve is the perfect little intro to what we were going to be talking about this year for Halloween. Now, last year we talked about how great Halloween was.
And doesn't seem to be anymore.
Doesn't seem to be, although it's kind of coming back. We mentioned that.
That's something I was going to bring up in a little bit.
And we talked about, you know, our Halloween memories and how great it was. And
the religious angle.
The religious angle. We had a nice little, in fact, I just jumped onto iTunes. Now that Lost in the Static is available in iTunes.
And I want to throw out a congratulations to Cassandra Baker. She is the one that did all that for us. And do you know what's really funny about Cassandra Baker?
What's that?
Todd Sheets of Jackalope was so impressed by what she did with the iTunes stuff, he hired her. She's now a coworker.
Thank you, Cass.
So Cassandra Baker is now a coworker of Jackalope.
Thank you, Cass.
But yes, so you can now get Jackalope.
But anyway, right. So our old Lost in the Static, our old episodes were up there. I decided to download Halloween, listen on my iPod.
I didn't download them from iTunes, but I just listened to those again the other day,
but,
too.
But I listened to them, and I think it's kind of neat going back and listening to those old episodes. We've changed a lot.
Those old episodes are kind of rough in some spots.
Yeah, at some spots. Those were good, though. The Halloween ones were good. But this year, you had a specific Halloween...
Gripe? Would that be the right
topic,
word?
Topic in mind.
When did Halloween become the slut holiday? Well, how did we slut up Halloween?
I'm not sure, but I think it started while I was in college.
Even back into the 90s? You think it was slutting up?
Yes.
Because Halloween used to be the kids' holiday.
Yeah, it used to be kids or the scary holiday.
Right.
And obviously it fits. But yeah, I think late 90s, early 2000s was when it really started making the switch. In fact, there's a, and you're going to shudder when I say this, but there's a Disney movie. There's one Shudder starring Lindsay Lohan.
You were just telling me this off mic, yes.
Two more Shudders called Mean Girls. And she comes over to the United States from Africa.
Okay.
And her first Halloween in the States, of course, Halloween where she was, it was all about scary and everything like that.
Well, because that's more of a Day of the Dead thing. Well, no, Day of the Dead's more Mexico.
But right,
yeah,
right.
The Africans definitely celebrate it differently than the Americans do.
I actually don't know. I've never... Never been to Africa. But nonetheless, she mentions that in the U.S. she didn't quite realize that it was a chance for the girls to slut it up. So she went all ultra scary, and her big, one of the big running jokes is she kind of bursts into rooms and scares people at Halloween when they're expecting, you know, slut costumes.
But, and I'll keep in mind, I want to point this out right away, Scott. I am not complaining about slut costumes. Okay, there's nothing wrong with hot, no, loose women.
I will fight you on that one.
Okay, how?
Because I have seen the slutification of children's costumes.
Okay, that I don't support that. I'm just talking about when you see a college student in the slutty nurse costume or the slutty vampire costume and stuff like that.
Yeah, but Frank, there's two things I have wrong with it. You're right. There are some wonderful examples and some beautiful women out there. Just like when you go to Comic-Con or Dragon-Con and you see the cosplayers, there are some very sluttily dressed women that look good in those costumes and everything like that. I support them 100%. The problem is with Halloween that for every woman that looks really, really good in a slutty costume, you get five others that don't belong in a slutty costume. And then you get the seven-year-old who decides to dress up as slutty Wonder Woman or whatever because...
Yeah, kids should not be objectified sexually.
Right. Somebody for notify any the reason. Gap and for, a couple for any other reason. Places. But, yeah, and that's where my problem with Halloween is, and that's why I'm willing to give up the good-looking sluts that are out there. I'm willing to give up that slutty part of Halloween to get back to that scary part of Halloween, back to the kids' holiday... Because I see it bleeding over too much.
Well, I mean, it does that in all of culture. I mean, you look at like the little 10-year-old girls in the beauty pageants, and they've got like the bikini competition.
What the hell's the name of that show? Toddlers and Tiaras. Have you ever seen this thing?
I thought it was. There's another one called Little Dolls.
I'm not familiar.
It's
with
on
that
one of the cable channels. But it's. I'm sorry, a child should never be objectified like that. And there is no reason to objectify a child like that.
I agree 100%. And that's my only problem with slutty Halloween is that, number one, slutty revealing costume is a privilege, not a right.
True.
And there are some women that need to have a little bit of, you know, I love women in all shapes and sizes. I love them in all forms, but...
I like big girls.
Yeah, I do too. But at the same time, there are some that you just shouldn't.
You go a little too far.
Yeah, you go a little bit too far. And then, like I say, you know, you get down into the 10, 11, 12-year-olds that are dressing up like this. That's my huge problem. And you're right. I guess it's more than just Halloween. But boy, with Halloween, it seems to come out of the woodwork.
Well, but then you also have the whole, like you brought up with Mean Girls, the whole scary versus slutty.
Right.
It used to be, at least when I was a kid, 9/10 were all where I was trying to be scary,
right,
or trying to be some sort of, you know, pseudo pop culture character.
Mm-hmm.
Now the sluts outweigh the scares,
and that's exactly what I'm talking about. The sluts that outweigh the scares should not be in the slutty costume. Oh wait,
you
no,
know
that's
what
not
I
what
meant.
You meant.
Well, and then it also comes down to nowadays there seems to be a marked lack of originality in costumes.
Right.
I mean, and when I say nowadays, I'm talking about the last 20 years. Because look at when The Crow came out. How every single person wanted to dress up as fucking Eric Draven that year. I don't know how many Crow costumes I saw walking down the street.
And
it was like a damn clone convention.
And let's
now
be
it's
honest,
Jack Sparrow.
Now it's either Jack Sparrow or even since The Dark Knight, the Joker.
The Joker. Yeah. And it's like, guys, could you get just a little bit original?
Yeah, but the only problem is, you know, do you want to be Jack Sparrow or the Joker? Or do you want to be a slutty bunny, a slutty nurse, a slutty policeman, a slutty this, a slutty that? Would you like to be a slutty news contemplator?
Contemplator? Would that be someone that just studies the news and goes, yes.
Yes. Yeah, yes. That's a professional philosopher. You're a slutty philosopher. Congratulations.
I'd actually like to see that, just out of curiosity. I'd like to see what a slutty philosopher would look like. I just started a whole new weird fetish.
I was going to say, I've shined a whole new light on Immanuel Kant. But in this world, they call me Immanuel Kant. I'm sorry. That was a hell of a tangent.
You know, it's. Okay, there is a thing. I always like the one thing I really love about porn parody movies is the titles. You know, like the Sopornos. I saw one with the title "The Girl with the Big Brown Eye," and it was an anal movie, and I thought that was a brilliant title. You know, and then you've got Sex Busters and Miami Spice and Sex Trek and stuff like that. But I can just see, like, even the gay ones. I'm sure there's Invasion of the Booty Snatchers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that's there. But, okay, we tangented there.
But anyway, it's so easy to do when you've got a slutty holiday that you're talking about. And, yeah, I can see this. And I always saw an interesting dichotomy.
Okay.
Now, let's see if you see this as well. We have the slutty preteen costumes that are out there.
Correct.
But at the same time, you don't see neighborhood haunted houses anymore because of fear of pedophiles.
Well, we talked about this a little bit last year.
A little tiny bit we touched on it, yeah.
Nowadays, there is this whole, everyone's a pedophile. You know, there's that stranger danger and shit like that, where you got to remember, people, there are just as many pedophiles today
as there were
30 years ago, as there were 300 years ago.
But that's out there, and we talked about that. But what I'm talking about is this weird dichotomy of my child should not be an object stalked by pedophiles, but at the same time, I'm going to put her in a skin-tight cat suit and
parade her up and down the street.
And I'm not playing the blame the victim card.
Okay.
I'm not. Again, this behavior is abhorrent, but I think it's abhorrent on both ends. I think that parents that do that, especially to preteen children, and I think that, you know, predators, well, of course, I'm not going to come out and, you know, good on you, go get them. You know, I'm not that kind of guy. But at the same time, There was one parent that I remember, a school nurse.
So would this be late 80s, early 90s then?
A school nurse, this would be, yeah, late 80s, early 90s, because I was in the same school from 7th grade to 12th.
Okay.
And she never celebrated Halloween. She didn't let her kids celebrate Halloween. And it wasn't, there was partially that religious side where they saw it as Satan's birthday or whatever. So that's kind of stupid. But the other side of it was that she didn't support the costumes, because that, even I think even back then, you would occasionally
they were starting to get into that.
What would you like to be? You know, and she didn't support it, and she just went, you know, I'm not going to do that to my kids. I'm not going to put them under that kind of pressure. I'm not going to objectify them like this, and so I almost could respect that.
Yeah, that's a personal decision, and as long as she's not trying to stop other people from doing that, which she did,
but
okay, then that's a whole.
Yeah, that I didn't respect, but her own decision to, you know, on why she did not celebrate or her family did not celebrate, I can support. But yeah, what happened to make the turn? Do you think?
I think part of it is literally growing up. The people who loved Halloween as a kid, as they became adults and became sluts, they wanted to continue celebrating it. I think literally it was more of a transition with the people themselves that sort of pushed the new sluttiness onto the holiday. Does that make sense?
Somewhat.
And, you know, at the same time, I think the media played into it. I think MTV played into it.
Yeah.
And I think just it was a combination of sources that said, you know what, dressing up like an actual dead person is not as fun anymore as a dead person with their cock hanging out is much more fun. And also something else I wanted to point out, what happened with, and I'm not saying originality is bad in any way, mm-hmm. but with quote unquote traditional costumes versus these weird esoteric, you actually have to explain what you are to somebody that, because nobody understands it, costumes.
Well, give me an example here, because I'm not.
And I saw this before it was in the movie Fanboys.
Okay.
Somebody dressed up as a tampon painted blue and they said, "I'm Picasso's blue period." When you have to explain that,
yeah,
your costume is too esoteric.
I was going to say, any joke that you have to explain is a lost joke.
Right. And so it's like, okay, you might think, oh God, I am so clever. But every single person you meet is going to go, I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Then you failed with your costume, I think.
Yeah.
And originally the costumes, the reason people dressed up back in the origins of the holiday was to scare off the ghosts. Mm. You know, it was to be scary. It wasn't meant to be cute and funny.
Right.
And I understand you don't want to dress up your five-year-old as a zombie. You'd rather dress them up as Bugs Bunny. Fine. I understand that. I remember my brother went as Bugs Bunny one year when I was a kid. I don't remember what age he was. What? I think I was Optimus Prime that year.
No, I'm thinking. Because I remember doing something similar with, like, you remember the footy pajamas?
Yes. I want the pajamas with the feet.
Yes, painted gray.
Oh,
basically,
then,
and then
big bunny ears.
Yeah, bunny ears.
But it's, now keep in mind, like I said, I'm not bitching about the slutty girls. Halloween's a great night to see some slutty girls with some big boobs damn near popping out.
And again, in a college town, in
even in a town like Green Bay.
Well, yeah, in a town like Green Bay and the of age girls, I'm all for it.
Yeah, there's a big thing called, like, you put something in there, of age.
Of age.
But there seemed to be a transition. When we were kids, we're talking late 70s, early 80s, Halloween was basically a kid's holiday. I mean, yeah, you know, mom might dress up to take the kids out, and, you know, you'd have a couple of people that answer the door as a witch or a zombie or something.
And my dad, when if he wasn't working for Halloween, would usually dress up as like a scarecrow and put, it was great. He would put like hay in his sleeves and at the bottom of his pants and sit in a lawn chair out front.
Yeah, you told that last year, and then scare the kids.
Jump up and scare the kids, and that's fun as hell.
Right. Well, I saw we were just at Halloween City before we came over here to record, and they got this zombie that crawls across the lawn at you. And I'm going, that would scare the living shit out of some kid. I guarantee if I put that in my lawn.
Yeah, with the right lighting, no doubt.
Because this airs 2 days before Halloween, unfortunately.
Well, that's okay.
But I'm just thinking, if I had that for Halloween, there's going to be candy strewn all over my lawn, which I get to pick up and then rehand out. So it saves me money. If you want to look at it like that.
True.
But okay, so when we were kids, it was relatively a kid's holiday.
It was a kid's holiday, exactly.
And then it started to transition to, you saw more and more college students getting into it. The adults still weren't into it as much, but you saw more college kids doing it. And then I think part of this has to do with bars. You saw bars try and get that Halloween money.
Yeah, they would.
So they started doing costume contests and stuff. So then you started to see the adults really dressing up because they wanted to win the $50 bar tab, which I've never understood. Spending $100 to make your costume to win a $50 bar tab, I've never quite gotten the logic of that, but I guess that's what you call drunk logic.
It's a pride thing. You know, it's not only do you get the $50 bar tab, but you get to brag that.
But I don't know. I just see it being kind of weird that you spent more money than you were getting just for the bragging rights. I don't get that. I'm sorry.
I understand.
But. All right. Well, and then, you know, we talked about this a little bit last year, where specifically TV doesn't do shit for Halloween anymore, except for the channels that nobody wants to watch anyway, like AMC. Yeah, I want to watch all the Halloween movies on AMC in a marathon, all cut to ribbons with a commercial break every 4 minutes. That's a 5-minute long commercial break, and then all the violence, all the swearing, and all the nudity are cut out of these movies. Yeah, I totally want to watch that all day long on Halloween. it's more of a what's the point.
Yeah, I think DVD and all of that kind of stuff kind of killed that.
You think that the networks, but even before DVD, even we're talking just the VHS era, the TV networks just stopped trying on that stuff.
Yeah, but even in the VHS era, you didn't have those specials come out in big collect. Oops, sorry.
What the hell was that?
I just got a message on TweetDeck.
I'm like, Jesus, I didn't even know what the hell that was. I thought your pacer just exploded or something.
No, I'm okay. You didn't see the big collections of things because you couldn't package together 14 tapes.
Yeah, you could.
Not easily.
I've got like Highlander seasons that are
but not easily and not cheaply. Like you can now, you can go and you can pick up all the Christmas specials on like 6 discs for
$30.
Not even that. I've seen it for 10. And the Halloween specials are the same way. You can package up a whole bunch of them.
Well, speaking of Halloween specials, to go back to the Stranger Danger thing, you just reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. You've seen the Fat Albert Halloween special, right?
No.
Fat Albert Halloween?
It's been a long, long time.
But you've seen it before.
It's been a long... I don't remember it, but yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, at one point, the kids are daring each other to go into the spooky old man's house, you know, and whatnot, and break in, and, you know, they're being stupid. And remember, this is 79, 80, something like that. Okay. I might even be too late on that.
Right.
And, you know, they go into the house and the guy gives them a bunch of food and everything. They find out the creepy old man was just really lonely and whatnot. Well, when that original, I've got an old original airing of that. And when I got the DVD of that, there was a new piece of narration at the end from Bill Cosby that I thought, this is very telling to our times. It was basically, in this day and age, you can't go into people's houses because you don't know what people are really going to be like, and you need to, if you don't know the people, don't go into their homes. It basically had a disclaimer, this was the 70s, it was a different time. That, you know, in the 90s, you're going to get duct taped into some loser's trunk. So that's a difference with this then to now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And again, we touched on it last year. You don't see the neighborhood haunted houses and stuff. And
no, you got to have the sanctioned stuff at the Y or...
Exactly.
Or the church or some shit.
Or the
shit.
One that always makes me mad is the mall trick-or-treating.
I've never done that.
I've been there a couple of times because my little nephew, God bless him, he loves trick-or-treating. So
how old is
usually
he now?
He's...
6?
No, he's going to be... Yeah, he'll be turning 6 eventually. But he just turned 5 not too long ago.
Okay.
But he loves going trick-or-treating in general. And so his mom would take him not only through the neighborhood and the traditional trick-or-treating, but if there was trick-or-treating at the mall, she would take him there and stuff like that. And I went with him last year.
Okay.
To the mall.
Just the one here in Green Bay?
Just the one here in Green Bay.
Which I would say appalled. Is a ghost town as it is.
Well, I was appalled.
Okay.
3 stores gave out candy.
Which 3?
Radio Shack.
Okay.
Believe it or not. And that was...
I'm surprised they weren't giving out cell phone plans.
oh, don't worry. The candy came with
flyers and
AT&T
shit.
Flyers and stuff like that. But Radio Shack... I forget the other two. One was Radio Shack. There was one that was, the Build-A-Bear Workshop.
You'd think Spencer Gifts would.
No.
But I'm just saying
you would think
logically no. They'd go together.
Spencer's was giving out like crazy straws or something like that, some little plastic trinket. But the vast majority of stores, that's what it was. It was either some little plastic trinket that was not candy, that reminded me of the old, like, really, really cheap Happy Meal toys of the mid-80s. The really, really cheap ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was that kind of stuff, or it was, and this really pissed me off, it was coupons.
I guess it depends on what the coupon's for. Maybe it's something useful.
It's
but that's me as an adult looking at that,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, no, and I'm looking at this as my 5-year-old nephew going... I can't eat a fucking coupon.
Can.
Where's my candy, bitch?
Well, that brings up something else about modern Halloween. Everyone's all on that. Oh, everyone's so obese. We, you know, there's too much diabetes. We need to make people healthy.
Then be a parent and do what we do with my little nephew and even my niece. We collect the candy. We distribute some candy. And we lock the rest of the shit away to, like, disperse throughout the year because we end up with tons.
No, I'm talking about, now, I don't know, we're recording this, obviously, before this is going to air on the 29th, so I don't know if they're going to do it this year or not. But last year, you had the right wing bitching at Obama because Michelle Obama was encouraging kids to go out and get candy on trick or treat. She's encouraging obesity. She's encouraging them to eat bad.
I'm leaving politics out of the holiday.
But I'm just saying, you have these people that go, oh, America's so fat. America's so unhealthy. Let's give out apple slices.
Then you know what? Fine. If you want to do that at your house, go right ahead.
And no one's going to go to your house.
And I really like apples. Speaking of which, Honeycrisp.
Would you really take apples from a stranger?
Depending on how many entendres you had in that question, possibly.
Just literal apples from the old creepy lady down the block who always is bitching about how much she hates kids.
Worked out fine for Snow White.
In the end. So, but... It just, I'm so sick, and I do hate politics coming into it, but Halloween is like that one day of the year you kind of get to indulge in eating shit that's really, really bad for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And
my advice fucking stands. If you have kids and you're worried about them being obese or you're worried about your neighborhood kids, fine. Hand out the healthy stuff. If you allow your kids to go trick-or-treating, be a fucking parent.
I mean, I remember a couple of years when I was a kid, and I'm talking 9, 10 years old, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
After we got done trick-or-treating, we'd go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal.
Okay.
You know, shit food to go with all the bad candy we're going to eat.
And what we did was when my friends and I finished trick-or-treating, number one, we would come home and dump it all into the middle of the kitchen floor.
Oh, no. See, my brother and I, it was, there's your shit and there's my shit.
Well, no.
You don't commingle.
See, my sister was 10 years older than me, so no trick-or-treating.
Is it just the dumb one?
Stuff like that. Yeah. But when the neighborhood kids, when me and my friends went trick-or-treating, we would grab all our shit and... Like I said last year, my house was kind of the center of operations.
Right, yeah.
We would go into the kitchen, dump it all on the floor, do trading. You know, I don't want this. I'll trade you that.
Ooh, you got
this.
Caramels. Yeah,
you got this. Can I, you know, that kind of, we did the trading. And then basically we made sure that we were all pretty even as far as candy amount. And then our parents stepped in. And my mom would gather up my stuff and say, here's what you can have tonight. A little, you know, maybe one of each kind that I right. got. And then she would keep the rest and dole it out through the year. Because see, that's what parents should fucking do, is be parents.
But see, I was a little more evil of a parent. I would take my son's pile and I would go, ooh, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Thank you. That goes in the fridge for me. Ooh, gum. I would actually just pick through for the stuff I wanted his Halloween candy.
So you were just being a douchebag.
He let me. He said it was okay.
You were just being a douchebag.
He said it was okay.
You were not a father. You were a douchebag.
He said it was all right.
This doesn't matter. He's a kid. He doesn't know better.
Oh, fuck that. You know, and then I remember a couple of years... When my son was little, so we're talking mid to late 90s here, this is when Halloween started to pick back up. And you saw, you know, like I said last year, you'd have, you know, the old tradition, if the porch light's on,
right,
it's trick or treat. And you'd have whole blocks where there's only maybe one light out.
Right.
And he would go, and he actually, you know, he had he had dumped his bucket three or four times because for whatever reason, they always feel more, you always get more if you got that mostly empty bucket. Yeah. They feel bad for you that you just started. So my wife and I would periodically dump the bucket in the
back. That's why you have the bucket and the pillowcase.
Yes. So you can swap out and
exactly
seem a little more pathetic. But I remember one year he got so tired. It was just after three or four bucket dumps, and it's like, do you want to hit another? He's like, no, I want to go home now. He's like, I got it. I just want to go home now.
I am done.
I'm done with that. It's like, well, Halloween's still on for another hour, you know, the local hours.
Yeah, the sun hasn't
come down yet. I just
want to
go home. I just want to go home. And see, to me, as weird as this is, whenever Halloween falls on a weekend, it feels weird trick-or-treat, you know, handing out candy on a Saturday or a Sunday. It, for some reason, it felt more right where you get done with school, you go home, you put on your costume, and then you go out. I don't know. Is that just me that it feels, Halloween feels different on a weekday than it does a weekend?
I think that's just you. It really makes no difference to me.
Okay. No, that's something that's always I've always had issues with.
I mean, I remember growing up years when it would fall on the weekend, and yeah, it'd be kind of different. But
did you ever get the trick or treaters that were way after hours?
Oh yeah, we keep our porch light on until midnight or whatever whenever we go to bed.
Well, I remember one year when I was a teenager, porch light was off. But the jack-o'-lanterns were still lit
right
on the front porch. So apparently that meant we were still handing out candy. 11:35, I'm watching some movie with my dad. And knock, 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 knock. And there's these two teenagers in costumes. Trick or treat. What the fuck is the matter with you?
And see, when I remember growing up, we didn't have trick or treat hours. We didn't have designated hours.
See, as far back as I can remember, we've always had that, you know, trick or treat is from 3 until 6.
Nah, we didn't have that. It was always it started in the early afternoon with the little ones.
Right.
And they would go around, and you know, you'd have baby in a bunny costume or whatever, and here would come proud first time dad up to the door, trick or treat, and the baby is
and
just,
he's all, yeah,
you know, and so that was the early afternoon stuff. And then about sundown, the kids would come around because I don't know what it was about Indiana, but we didn't do this 4 o'clock in the afternoon when it's still bright out and everything like that. We did it about sunset. You would start, and it would last. I think the latest Halloween that we had growing up in Indiana was we were out until I want to say about 11:30 or midnight.
Well, because I can tell you one thing. Now, this is both a proud moment as a parent and kind of a sad moment as a parent. That, gotta keep in mind, my son is now 18. Okay, that first year when he doesn't want to go out with mom and dad and he wants to go hang out with his friends on Halloween instead, it both makes you kind of proud that he's grown up and kind of sad that he doesn't want to hang out with mom and dad anymore, you know?
No, I wouldn't know.
You know, it's just one of those, you go ahead with your friends, I'll be okay, you know, kind of things. Maybe it was just me.
Well, of course it was just you. You're the only you're the only one of the two of us that has kids. I can't share that feeling with you because I guess I can relate, but I'm not a parent.
All right. Well, and then you've also got nowadays I really don't like this word, but there's no other way to put it. The commercialization of Halloween, I think, is now both better and worse than ever before. You know, I mean, 10 years ago, you would not have seen Walgreens and Target and Walmart and all that commercials for Halloween products.
You know what? Christmas, the commercialization gets annoying.
It's always been. Since we've been kids, it's always been like
Thanksgiving that. And specifically the day after Thanksgiving, which
Black Friday.
For those that maybe our international listeners and don't know, traditionally the day after Thanksgiving is when, which is always on a Friday,
When the country goes on
is
sale.
When the country just goes absolutely insane with commercial deals and stuff like that. And that's why you always hear of Americans at like Walmart getting trampled.
And like people camping out 3 days in advance to be first in line.
People will skip the Thanksgiving holiday in order to set up camp and parking lots and stupid stuff like that. That annoys me.
I got fucked with that last year. I don't do Black Friday, okay? And I needed rabbit food. So I had to go through all the Black Friday shoppers just to buy rabbit food at Walmart. Isn't that bullshit?
That sucks. I also, you know, there are a few other, for some reason, Valentine's Day, the commercialization of it, you know, you don't love her unless you buy her shit. That annoys me.
Hallmark holidays.
But for some reason, Halloween, the commercialization hasn't really bothered me because it's kind of cool shit. Because it's the only time of the year when you can find, you know, blood-dripping ghoul masks being advertised on TV.
True. No, see, I didn't say it bothers me in the fact that I don't like it. It bothers me in that it's sort of, it just makes it such a commodity. You know, I mean, I guess I'm kind of a hippie in that way. I kind of like it when it was more, you know, mom would make the costume, not let's go out and buy the costume, you know, where people would actually take their time to carve a jack-o'-lantern, not get a pre-cut out pattern that they just have to trace. And it's not as special to me anymore.
I mean, I can understand that at the same time. I don't, you know, there aren't as many stay-at-home parents anymore.
True.
There are a lot of, you know, sewing, believe it or not, it's kind of a dying art. Making things from scratch, there's a huge community out there, but it really isn't as commonplace as it used to be. And so I can kind of understand why, you know, you might go out and buy a costume. And I think if the parent and the kid go out and buy their costume together, I don't think that that time can be any less special than, you know, mom and the kid making the costume together. Because it depends on the time and the parent.
But again, it goes back to my argument of you go and buy the costume. Well, that's something that's commercially available. How many other kids in your neighborhood have bought that same costume and are going to look exactly the same as you?
Yeah.
Mom makes your costume. It's going to be relatively unique. Even if it's of a non-unique character, it's going to be a relatively unique costume.
And I agree with that. And here's my suggestion. And I've seen a lot of people do this. Is if you're worried about time, go out and buy the costume and then spend a little bit of time, you know, compromise.
Altering.
Spend a little bit of time altering and putting your own personal touch on things.
All right. I can see that. But I don't know. What I'm wondering this year, keep in mind, like I said, we're recording this early. We're friends with Hank Carlson, professional special effects man. Can you imagine what he might do to us on Halloween? He's got the skills and the tools.
This is true.
So it's like, what is Hank going to do for Halloween? He used to do that for a living.
Really? You wouldn't you think Halloween would come around and he'd be just like, oh, God, I do this enough at work. No, no more.
I don't want to do this for Halloween. Stop.
Yeah, luckily, he's in a profession where he really loves what he does for a living.
If he could just actually make a living at it up here.
Yeah.
Because he hates LA so much.
But nonetheless, he really does what he loves what he does for a living. So, you know, God only knows what the hell. It's been a while since I've whipped out my special effects makeup thing.
Thank you for adding special effects makeup to the end of that.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've whipped out my special effects makeup kit.
Well, I was going to ask you, on a slightly more serious note,
mm-hmm.
as a pagan, what do you and Dawn do special on Halloween? Or do you just celebrate the holiday the same as it, like handing out candy and carving a jack-o'-lantern and stuff? Or does the holiday have a different meaning for you as pagans?
It does. It really does. Halloween itself, October 31st, not so much. It doesn't have that big of a difference. We still hand out candy. We still see my nephew Tony. If I happen to be down in Indiana, then I'll be hanging out with my niece Jenna and stuff like that. But the holiday that does have a special meaning that falls right around Halloween and where Halloween comes from is called Samhain.
Right.
Or Samhain or a couple of bits like that. And like I've explained before, it is the pagan new year.
What's the date?
It rotates.
Okay.
It depends. It's a solstice based holiday.
Okay, so it doesn't have a set date.
Right.
It's like Thanksgiving.
Right.
Fourth Thursday, and that's it.
Yeah, well, you know, for instance, Christmas, which is always on December 25th, versus Yule, which is on the winter solstice. And I'm sorry, Samhain is based on the equinox, not the... Anyway, it's...
I knew what you meant.
It's lunar-based.
Okay.
So, you know, Yule happens right around December 21st.
Okay.
Because it happens on the solstice. So it could be anywhere from the 19th to the
23rd.
I've seen it as late as the 27th.
Okay, so post-Christmas. Okay.
So somewhere in there. Samhain is kind of the same way. It happens anywhere from the 20th to the exactly. Okay. And it's the end of the growing season. It's a harvest holiday. It's a time to look back on your year and either repent for sins. Actions that you not really sins, but actions that you regret. Okay. For instance, let's say during the year, at some point, either on purpose or accident, I just smack you in the cock as hard as I possibly can. And
I'm moving away from you.
And I decide later on that this is an action that I regret and I would like
to make. It takes you that long to decide you regret that, you fuck?
Yes, and I would like to make amends for it. Or let's say we get into a car accident.
Okay.
And who knows, maybe I'm driving or something like that. But yeah, it's actions that you take during the year that...
I just set my mic down to get a soda. Keep talking. Well, I'm getting the soda.
Anyway, so you can either repent for those and kind of deal with what you've done over the past year. But the big thing about it is it's a chance to look back through your family history and the veil between the worlds.
Do you do this? Do you and Dawn do this?
I don't. Dawn does... To some extent, and when I was part of a coven, the rest of the coven was really big on it. And there were, if you'll let me finish explaining
I just had a clarification question,
sure.
That's all.
What?
I was going to say, when you say look back, you mean metaphysically or like but through albums and
yes.
Shit? Yeah.
Both.
Okay.
The veil between the worlds is thinnest on Samhain, which is why we get, you know, this dead-centric thing is because... It's a time when you can talk to ancestors, when you can talk to the dead.
Say goodbye to the person you
either,
didn't
either
get to say goodbye
to the person you didn't get a chance to say goodbye to, or look back on a life that influenced you. And you can literally talk to them. The old belief was that on Samhain you could literally talk to the dead. And they did two things. They offered advice, and it was the best night for divination. Things like tarot and scrying and...
Not seances,
not that kind of thing. But, you know, using a pendulum, scrying with a black dish full of water, doing tarot and stuff like that. Divination of any kind is supposed to be most effective on Samhain because the veil that separates this world from the next one being thinnest.
The signal stronger,
yeah,
in other
words. The dead can come back and influence things the way they do. But yeah, it's a... Now, really, for Samhain, what I do in kind of my modern view is that I take it as time to look at my family, and I don't talk to the dead so much as go through the albums, show respect for those that influenced me, that have passed, that were an influence in my life. I give it a chance. It's it's a chance of a night to look back and pay respect to my ancestors, whether they be familial or friends that have affected me or anything like that. I don't do so much of the divination stuff, and I don't do so much of the talk to the dead anymore. This year we are doing something very interesting, though.
What's that?
Since my coven has split up, basically we grew apart. Okay. It was a happy parting. And so there's a smaller group that's getting together for Samhain this year. And we are holding a dumb supper.
Okay. Is this like dinner for idiots?
No. A dumb in the classic, they can't speak.
Okay.
Form
deaf,
of the
dumb,
word.
And blind kind of dumb.
Yeah, that kind of dumb. But a dumb supper is basically we're having dinner where everybody is bringing something and we're cooking it here at the house. And from the time service starts until dessert is served, and this is a four-course meal, nobody is allowed to say a word. And traditionally, they're held in silence.
So is there like a punishment if somebody gets a cell phone call or something?
You shut off cell phones.
But I mean, okay, if somebody says something, do they get punished? Do they get like a jack-o'-lantern smashed over their head or something?
No, but you get a stern look. And it's a... As well as setting a place for each person that's taking there, you set a place for the ancestors. So you set an extra place of dinner, and you do serve food to it. Obviously, we don't expect it to get eaten or anything like that.
But. So is it like considered rude of you to kind of like, you know, that piece of cake looks really good on dead grandpa's
plate? It's extremely
plate.
Rude. Yeah. It's extremely rude.
So you just throw the food away when you're done, or what?
No, you take it outside.
Okay.
And you give it to animules.
What?
You give it to animals.
Animules, though?
Animules.
Okay. Because I'm just trying to be respectful.
I understand.
I just have a couple of kind of smart-assy questions. That's
I know. No, after the meal is done, you take... Number one, you make sure that if there's chicken or anything like that, you debone it. Because chicken bones are brittle and bad for...
Ghosts?
Animal stomachs.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you prepare it, and then you take it outside, and you leave it outside for the animals to eat.
I think traditionally that's where the whole treating mm-hmm. of the trick-or-treating comes from, is leaving the food out for them.
Exactly.
And then the trick is more of an Irish thing. When the Irish people came over, was basically you didn't give them candy, they'd, you know, take your tractor and put it up on your roof.
Yes, shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Yes. Total shenanigans.
You pick on me for animules, and yet you bring up shenanigans.
Shenanigans is a movie Homer went to see in The Simpsons. He actually bought a ticket for shenanigans, but they were sold out. He wanted to go see shenanigans.
How much longer is this show?
Another 7 minutes.
God damn it.
So the shenanigans is a Simpsons reference.
Yes, but nonetheless, we will be holding the dumb supper. And, you know, there... In the past, we used to process a big parade of us in robes and holding jack-o'-lanterns. And
Do you guys do jack-o'-lanterns as part of paganism, or is that just a Halloween thing?
Yeah, both. Both.
Because, see, like we said last year, I hate the actual carving of jack-o'-lanterns.
Right.
I love having jack-o'-lanterns. I think they look great. I think they look beautiful with the fire behind them. And
to me, there is nothing that says Halloween more than that smell of candle-burning pumpkin.
I'll give you that, but I'd say this close second would easily be the smell of just Halloween.
Leaves.
The leaves,
like that, yes.
The air,
yeah.
The people turning on their heaters for the first time.
We talked about that last year. When it was a big group, we would do a procession and all of this stuff. And
For like yourselves or in the middle of town?
We had a house that was a covenstead, and we'd process around that.
Okay.
And we always had the neighbors come out and take photographs. And to tell you the truth, that's kind of one of the things that turned me off of the coven and whatnot, was because after a while it began, let's parade for the neighbors.
It sort of became commercial. Mm-hmm. It started to commercialize itself out, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay. So, yeah, to me... I like a more traditional Halloween, and I'm not saying to be unoriginal. If I'm saying anything, it's to be more original and stop being so cardboard cutout of, you know, the store-bought costume and the store-bought jack-o'-lanterns and things like that.
And I'm just happy to see people celebrating the holiday and having a good time together.
I was just at Goodwill before I came over here.
Right.
To record with you. The Halloween aisles are just packed.
Good.
And I'm not complaining about that for once. I'm saying everybody's looking for a costume.
Good.
And we're unfortunately recording this
early,
a little early because, and this is something I wanted to say. Last week we said how you were leaving the show for a while, but I talked you into doing one more.
Right.
Because I figured I need you for Halloween.
Okay.
You
know? I appreciate it.
I talked you into doing one more. Needed. So now this is going to be your last show before your break. And I hope we can get you back before Christmas, but that's all going to be up to you.
We'll see. I'm dealing with some, I'll just tell you, I'm dealing with some family stuff right now. I don't really want to go into it.
I'm not asking you to.
I'm dealing with some stuff in my life right now, and I need to kind of take a break on a few things, including this show, unfortunately.
And me in specific. I've been really getting on his nerves lately, and I don't know why.
Both of you, and I don't know why. But that's, I just need to take a break for a little while, especially listening back to some of the episodes. We have been getting angrier and angrier with one another slowly over time. And then it kind of, we hit a valley where we weren't so angry, and then we start getting angrier and angrier. And I don't like that. I don't like being angry with you, Josh. I really don't.
Then why are you angry with me all the time?
Because you are you.
You called me a shithead the other day.
Yes, I did.
You said I'm kind of a shithead.
Yeah, because you are. And
I wish I could fight with you as much as I'd like to.
I know. But I need a little break from that for a little bit just to get some stuff in order, and then I will be back. I enjoy
I'm hoping by Christmas, but yeah. I'm giving you your space.
I appreciate it.
You know, he did a what the fuck with me recently, and then this will be his last one until whenever, and then Hank Carlson will be coming in to fill in.
And Hank's a good guy. You're in good hands with him.
Yeah, and I just have a feeling with Hank, we have this thing when we talk on the phone. Literally, I will call him to just tell him one thing, and then 25 minutes later, we're still talking about random crap. So I have a feeling keeping it to the 55-minute time limit might be a little bit difficult with Hank. That's the issue I've got with that, is the two of us can just talk random bullshit for pretty much ever. Because, like, next week, what I plan to talk about to Hank is realism in comics.
Oh, okay.
That's what I plan to have as our topic. And see, I don't know if it's going to happen. But
I was going
to
say, he'll be a better co-host than I am anyway, because I'm not much of a comics fan. So
you were just telling me in our last 2 minutes here that DC's dead to you, huh?
Yes.
From the new 52?
Yes.
Because we talked about that on a what the fuck, that you were going to check them out, and you weren't so happy with what you checked out.
Yeah,
were ya?
I checked them out, and they've gone ultra dark and ultra slutty, and it's kind of a lot of them are like Jersey Shore the comic book.
Superman's now a jerk. Batman's cutting people's faces off. Starfire's sleeping with everybody on the planet.
Yeah, and these are not the heroes that have been built up over years and years and years. They're not even anti-heroes. They're just assholes.
Well, especially Superman.
Yeah.
The police? You don't get to tell me what to do. I'm fucking Superman. Exactly. I'm above the police.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, that's Superman the douche.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I've pretty much said I'm never buying another DC comic, ever.
But on the other side, I was just at the comic store before I came over. Well, before I went to Goodwill, before I came over here, and I asked how they're doing with the new 52. His best month ever. They've been open like 4 years. He's never sold as many comics in one month as he has with the new DCs. Well, so from a retailer perspective, it's a great thing.
Of that, I have no doubt.
From a reader perspective, it's not going over as well as DC was hoping.
They're never getting another penny of my money.
Nope. Fuck DC. And I gave up on Marvel a long, long time ago. So
I have never really liked Marvel superheroes.
See, I've loved Marvel, but they really started to lose me in the late 90s. And then with the bullshit they pulled in the early 2000s, other than Marvel Zombies, they're dead to me.
Oh, and
no pun intended.
Just to be sure. Stan Lee will always have my respect, but I've never been a Marvel fan.
All right.
So goodbye, everybody. It's been a pleasure, and I will be back. Happy Halloween.
Night.